Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Tim Federle was a dancer on Broadway until a few years ago. Now he's an author who has, so far, released 4 books. His 5th, a picture book, is due out later this year. 2 of his books, Better Nate Than Ever and 5-6-7 Nate, are about Nate Foster, a small-town boy with big Broadway dreams. The books are aimed at middle school theater geeks trying to find their footing, a population larger than most would imagine, and that included in years past both Federle and myself. Better Nate Than Ever was named a New York Times Notable Book of the Year, a Publisher's Weekly Best Book of the Year, and a Slate Favorite Book of the Year. Federle's other 2 books are Tequila Mockingbird, Cocktails with a Literary Twist, and Hickory Dackory Dock, Cocktails with a Nursery Rhyme Twist, the former containing instruction for boozy bevs with names like Love in the Time of Kahlua, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margarita, and Vermouth the Bell Tolls, and the latter sharing shaker-ready recipes for Old MacDonald Had a Flask, Baba Black Russian, and Jack and Coke and Jill. On Thursday, February 5th, the campaign for the new Hudson Area Library will be hosting Federle at Café La Perche in Hudson, New York from 6 to 8 p.m. The restaurant will offer a selection of Federle's drink recipes for sale to guests, and the Spotty Dog Books and Ale will be selling Federle's books. Tim Federle joins us on the Roundtable this morning. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So you grew up in San Francisco and Pittsburgh and moved to New York City to dance on Broadway, which you succeeded at, but now you are an author. Are you entirely an author, or is dance still a part of your life?
Yeah, like if I'm at CBS and the right song comes on, are you asking me if I dance down the aisle?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Of course.
The answer is definitely yes. I definitely bop around when folding laundry. But I think as an author, you know, all I'm doing is what I kind of always did, which is I was a class clown. I would get sent to the principal's office for joking around. And then as a Broadway dancer, I would get, you know, scolded by stage management for making other people laugh on stage. And now I just get to kind of bring it all to the page where people, you know, frequently want to laugh. So it's actually, it all worked out.
And how did you decide to begin writing professionally, or to try to, and then again to succeed at that?
Yeah, it happened a couple of years ago. I was working on the artistic staff of the Broadway show Billy Elliot, and I was training all of these really incredible middle school boys. And was kind of reminded both how witty middle school kids are and also how they're not jaded yet, which is sort of an incredible combination. And I had sort of accomplished everything I had dreamed of as a dancer. I performed in Little Mermaid on Broadway. I did a national tour of Spamalot. And I was looking to kind of find a new way to express myself. And these kids inspired me to write my first novel, which was about a kid who was on Broadway. And I realized if I could just sort of channel how insecure I felt when I was 13 and frequently still feel as an adult, that I might have a story to tell. So that's sort of how I got my start.
Is any of the transition also due to the physical demands of being a dancer? One does, unfortunately, age out of it.
Totally. I mean, when I saw Newsies on Broadway, within 30 seconds of those boys dancing, I remember turning to my date and saying, I couldn't have danced like that on the best day of my fitness. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a real reality to dancing, which is at a certain point, you've got to let the next sort of crop full of people coming to New York City on buses take over. And I was lucky enough to want to express myself as a writer and then find an audience.
Before we talk about your boozy books, which is the books that are bringing you to Hudson for the event we're going to talk about in a little bit, I'm hoping you will tell us more about the Nate books, which you alluded to a few moments ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, my first novel was called Better Nate Than Ever, and it is about this boy who runs away from Pittsburgh, where I grew up, and he crashes a fictional Broadway audition for the musical E.T., based on, of course, the Steven Spielberg movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote that book when I was working at Billy Elliot, and it drew on a lot of the themes of my life growing up where I felt really bullied and picked on. And as an adult, I've learned that everything that got me teased as a kid is sort of what gets me paid now. Like everything that made me stick out for negative reasons, being a goofball, loving the theater, were all of the sort of passionate things that ended up, you know, becoming my career. So I wrote that book for middle schoolers, thinking and hoping I would get a small audience and being really delighted by how many people I still hear from. I hear from college kids, I hear from grown adults, and that's the miracle of writing books for kids these days, is that because of Harry Potter and Hunger Games, a lot of people are feeling braver to pick up books that are technically written for people younger than them.
And that book was named a New York Times Book Review Notable Book of 2013 and a Best Book of the Year by Amazon, Publishers Weekly, and Slate.com. When all of that kind of happened, when it got the attention that it got, was that surprising? I mean, how could you have had any idea it would hit so big?
Yeah, it was surprising because when you're a theater person and when you grow up as a theater person, you are taught to believe that you're a nerd and there's only about 5 or 10 of you on Earth. And I was lucky enough to have this Broadway career where I realized there were other people like me, but I did not realize that Better Nate Than Ever would find an audience that wasn't just kids, but was also adults who dreamed of being in theater. Or I hear from a lot of guys who say, I was teased for having a dream, and this is so refreshing to read a character who I wish I had, found when I was a kid. So that's been a really incredible journey.
And the follow-up to Better Nate Than Ever is 5-6-7 Nate, which was pretty recently released in paperback. When did you know you would write another Nate book?
I think I always had in my mind that there could be a further adventure. And so, spoiler alert, when Nate ends up getting cast in E.T., the musical, as an understudy, I felt that there would be a really exciting story to tell about what happens when you get your dream and it's not quite what you thought it would be. Mm-hmm. And so 5-6-7 Nate is the story of this, out-of-town Midwestern kid who is thrust into the spotlight unexpectedly and has to contend with not just being, an adolescent, which is hard enough, but an adolescent who's putting on makeup and has to perform for 1,000 people. So I wanted to write about that experience, which I think is so unique to Broadway kids. And Simon & Schuster has been an incredible publisher and gotten the book in front of so many people. And I'm actually working on a movie adaptation right now. So I'm really excited.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The reason I get to speak with you today, as I mentioned a few moments ago, is that you will be at Café La Perche in Hudson, New York on February 5th, talking up two of your other books, Tequila Mockingbird and Hickory Dockery Dock. The event will be a benefit for the Hudson Area Library. As you've promoted these books, have you done most or many signing events where there also, by virtue of what the books are about, needs to be cocktails?
Like every single one, and it's the best. Yeah, I mean, I have done cocktail events from coast to coast, and it's the most fun thing to walk into a bookstore or to go to sort of an unlikely venue and just find the sort of resident book buyer making drinks for my books. It's a hoot.
Where did you come up with the idea to write these two books?
So the first one was when I was on tour with my first book. My mom, who lives in San Francisco now, told me that her book club frequently gets together, and she sort of said as an aside that about 10 minutes into every book club, one of the ladies says, "Hey, Lynn, do you happen to have any white wine?" And then the book club just sort of descends into a party. And I thought, that sounds like a book idea. So Tequila Mockingbird is all literary-inspired cocktails, and when people don't know what that means, it basically is like the last of the mojitos. I would take a plot element of Last of the Mohicans and try to imagine what it might taste like as a drink. And the book looks like a kind of gentleman's classic, old-timey, dusty book. And it's just been a complete blast to have out in the world.
There are a lot of cocktails in that book, and so a lot of books acknowledged. I've opened to A Rum of One's Own, of course, inspired by A Room of One's Own by Virginia Woolf. You worked with a mixologist to develop the drinks. How did you find the mixologist, and what is the process by which you develop cocktails inspired by works of literature?
Well, first of all, it's an extremely grueling process.
I know, I'm
very
sure.
Very difficult work. The process was I came up with, I think, 65 cocktail concepts. So I would come up with something like Portrait of Dorian Gray, and I would come up with the picture of Dorian Gray Goose would be the sort of drink title. And then what I would do is I would say it needs to be a sort of youth serum, because of course the themes in Dorian Gray has to do with sort of, unlimited youth. Mm-hmm. And I work with a mixologist who's really excellent, and we sit down and I say, I kind of think it should be these ingredients. I kind of think it should taste like this. And I'm a fan of drinking. I love making cocktails, but I would never dream of writing 65 original cocktails by myself. So the mixologist and I kind of put our heads together, make it not just funny, but delicious.
Have you read all of the books that you reference in Tequila Mockingbird?
I have skimmed every one of them and read many of them. But I have to say, like, some of these books, like Remembrance of Things Past, which became Remembrance of Things Pabst, as in the Blue Ribbon Beer.
Sure, PBR.
Some of these books were so epic, and I had like 4 months to write the first draft of Tequila Mockingbird. So that was tough. I will say I'm writing a new cocktail book right now, which is tentatively titled Gone with the Gin, which is cocktails with a Hollywood twist. And it is so much easier to sit back and watch a movie as research. Like, I just watched Risky Business in honor of what will be Whiskey Business. And it's very easy to watch a two-hour movie as opposed to read an extraordinarily long work. But a lot of the books were incredibly interesting to pick up again. And I think for a lot of people who have discovered my book, they've actually come to me, and I Skype with a lot of book clubs, and what they say is it's so fun to have a way in to some of these books that were otherwise kind of intimidating.
Your second cocktail book is Hickory Dackery Dock, Cocktails with a Nursery Rhyme Twist. What made you want to aim your second cocktail book at new parents?
Well, in the spirit of write what you know, my older brother had a baby a couple years ago. And I just saw that for as miraculous and truly wonderful as having a new baby is, it's also really exhausting.
Yeah.
And so I thought it would be funny to kind of write a tongue-in-cheek tribute to, you know, the old nursery rhymes that we grew up loving. You mentioned, I think, a rum of one's own from my first book, and my favorite nursery rhyme cocktail from the new book is called Rum-a-Dub-Dub, which just happens to be about, like, what happens when you have bath time with your kid and it just goes completely crazy. So that's what sort of inspired the new book.
Yeah, and we also should mention it's a board book. It looks like it is for babies and it is for the parents of babies.
Yeah, it's kind of in the spirit of go the bleep to sleep.
Right.
Which is hopefully being added to the shelf, people who realize that, you know, it's incredible to have a kid, but it's also helpful to have a laugh every now and then.
Of course. One I've just opened to that I particularly enjoy is Rocks and Rye Baby. Rocks and Rye Baby, hide your laptop. When babies stand, they grab stuff nonstop. When your Mac's wet, your programs will stall, and there goes your money, savings and all. 2 ounces rye whiskey, 4 grapefruit juice ice cubes.
Yeah, kind of, you know, that happened to a friend of mine. He, like, his kid just started walking, this adorable toddler, and my friend turned his back, and when he turned around again, I think his computer was smoking because the adorable toddler had knocked a glass over on top of it. So all of the sort of scenes from Hickory Dockery Dock are scenes from the life of young parents.
So these are, as people are no doubt learning from our mentioning the titles of the cocktails in both books, they are puns or rhymes on puns, and it has been declared that you were born quipping, but I imagine it must still be work to come up with each cocktail title, pun, and rhyme, or does it come just naturally to you in every instance?
Some of them come really naturally. Like, I remember Eeny Martini, Miney Mo was easy. But a friend of mine came up with Ring Around the Rosé. And there were a couple I really wanted to include. I was dying to do an Itsy Tipsy Spider. But I ended up discovering that I wanted all of the sort of nursery rhymes in the book to be about real life things that happen to real life humans. And so I could not wrap my head around a good sort of funny nursery rhyme that has to do with drunk spiders. That just did not work for me.
Tim, it has been awesome speaking with you. Thank you so much for taking the time, and have a wonderful event in Hudson.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Tim Federle will be in Hudson, New York at Café La Perche in a benefit for the Hudson Area Library on February 5th. More information on the library's campaign can be found at armory.hudsonarealibrary.org. Although the kitchen to Café La Perche is normally closed on Thursdays during the winter months, Chef Robert Pecorino will be offering a limited selection of dinner entrees to library patrons at the conclusion of this event. Advance dinner reservations are required, and you can make them by calling 518-822-1850. That phone number and other applicable links are available at wamc.org/roundtable, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.